And so why don't you take your Bibles, if you haven't already, take your Bible and go to Psalm 19, all right? Psalm 19. And we are going to look, just at verse number 13 and 14 right now, because before it's all said and done, we're going to actually have gone back up to verse number 7 and worked our way down a little bit. And so let's just read verse number 13 and verse number 14 of Psalm chapter 19. And we will pick up this last section of dealing with the giant of presumption. And then we'll go to our prayer time together. So verse number 13 says this, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We're going to jump right on in, and just again as a quick overview, my wife was picking with me. She's like, "Oh," so is it going to be lengthy tonight? I said, "What do you think?" You need me to turn this microphone on? I love it when they start waving like crazy. All right. Ah, here we go. I got this other microphone on now. But she was joking with me about the length. I said, no, I just have a small section to wrap up. She said, after the review, I said, don't worry. The review won't be that long. But in simple review, let me remind you very quickly what, in a nutshell, what we've covered. We started off by talking about the difference between the word assume and the word presume. We said assume, by definition, is to suppose something without reason or evidence. To presume is to suppose something with some probability or evidence. And so to presume is often the most normal thing we do because we have a little bit of experience. Therefore, we have a little bit of evidence. We have a little bit of what has happened in the past. So therefore, we just presume it's going to go somewhat the same way. Kind of like coming to a red light. We just presume that people are going to stop. Because, you know, most red lights, people stop. Not in Decatur. It turns red. They keep going because nobody else was moving right away, so I'm just going to keep on going through. But so the word assume is without reason or evidence. Presume is because of some probability or evidence. We presume something, and unfortunately, we said this giant of presumption is a seemingly insignificant, seemingly innocent, small giant, but actually, as I've said before, it kind of a gateway giant, you might say. Presumption is what leads us to many other battles with giants. We presume and therefore end up facing the giant of temptation. We presume and end up facing the giant of self. We presume and end up facing the giant of pride. All these different things, oftentimes some of these other giants are kind of entered into battle by going through the gateway of the giant of presumption. And we have to be very careful with presumption because it can happen to us before we even realize what has happened to us. Proverbs 18:3, we said, tells us that he that answereth the matter before he heareth it is folly and a shame to him. And sometimes we tend to jump on things before actually understanding. Again, that's presumption that we know where. You ever been in one of those conversations? I've done it before. You think you know where somebody's going, so you jump on in, you start talking. Next thing you know, they're like, "What did that have to do with what I was talking about?" It's like, "Didn't you mean this?" "Nope, that's not where I was going." "Oh, sorry." I mean, we presume we know, and so we jump on in. We got to be careful with that presumption. We said there's three major things that we often, as human beings, we tend to allow presumption to reside in our lives, and it gets us into trouble. We said, first off, that we presume strength, and that leads us to failure. We presume that we have the strength to handle things. If we're not careful, we think that, we use that phrase, you know, I'm okay, or I am just fine, or I've got this. We presume strength, and yet we find out that that we don't got it. That we have on our own, in our own abilities, there is nothing about us that is a representation of true strength. We are weak. We are frail. We fall constantly when we do not rely on the strength that God gives. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is the one who enables us. And hey, I can do all things. Yes, you can, but only through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so we have to be very careful with the presumption that we, just because I'm called a child of God, well, I've got the strength to do anything. By the way, don't presume you have the strength to fight the devil, because you don't, and I don't. We don't have the strength to fight Satan. If we go against him in our strength, he will win every single time. And that is where you find many Christians today discouraged and down and about ready to give up and say, I just don't know how in the world I can even do it, because every time I try, I fail. That's the problem. You're trying. You're doing it. You're going against him, and he's more powerful than we are. Second only to God himself, that's Satan. There is a reason, and we said this before, there's a reason why he thought he could ascend to the throne and he could take over. He really was powerful enough to convince himself that he could overthrow God. And he still has that strength and power, though it's not enough to overthrow our Father. It is enough to always overthrow us without the Father's help. And so we cannot presume strength, or we will find ourselves in great failure. We said number two, it's becoming a very broad and very more readily seen thing take place within the lives of those who claim to be a child of God. And that is the idea that I have, as a child of God, I have the freedom and liberty to do whatever it is that I would like to do, and no one has the right to judge me. We see that happening. Now, that's a word, it's actually a humanistic mentality. You know, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. It is a humanistic mentality that I can do what I want and nobody should be able to judge me. But it's crept into the church, and now it's almost gotten to the point where Christians say, well, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, so I can do, you know, you can't judge me, God forgave me. Well, yes, but he didn't give us the liberty to misuse the grace of God. We've looked at all that. We're not going to go all the way back through it. But we are not to misuse and abuse the grace of God. We're to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. And as a matter of fact, Galatians 5:13 is the ending of that one that we talked about. But it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So there we are free, but we said this, we are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from the control of sin. We are free from the dominion of sin in our life. That's the freedom we have. That's the liberty we have. We are free so we can serve the Lord and serve him faithfully. We are not free to live our lives as we want and then say nobody has the right to judge me because God has forgiven me. That's a misuse of God's grace. And so if we presume liberty, it actually leads to our own bondage. While claiming to be free, we're linking ourselves up in the chains of bondage. And the last thing we started looking at is this third one, which is we presume acceptance, which leads us to shame. And I'm not going to rehearse all of it, but the starting understanding of it, where we looked at verse number 14, where David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. It was a true, genuine heart's plea that what he was to say and what he would think and what he meditated on, not just, Lord, let it please be okay with you. No, it was a, Lord, my desire is those things which I meditate on, those things which I say, all things in which are going to come from me. Lord, I pray, I want them to be acceptable. In other words, I want to be right in your eyes. I don't want you to stoop to my level and just okay what I'm doing. I want to take what I'm doing and make sure that it fits with your plan and your desire and what you want to see. That was his heart. That was his prayer. That was his plea. And so the opposite here, though, is dealing with a presumption that God is okay. And we dealt with many verses like Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 13. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Oh, I got to worry about it. God's not going to really do that. God's not really going to have a problem with this. God is going to be okay with what I'm doing. God is a loving God, and he'll excuse my little mistakes. That's what we think. He's not going to require holiness. Even though he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I mean, he didn't really mean that, because he knows we're weak. He knows we mess up. He knows we have problems. And so he didn't really mean, that was just kind of a challenge. It wasn't really a command. And so he's going to be forgiving because he knows that we're never really going to be able to attain to that. And so God's not really going to require it the way we think he's going to require it. No, I'm sorry. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He never gave a command that he didn't give the ability to perform that command. The ability is there for every child of God. When we presume that God will accept what we are doing and just be okay with it because he loves us that much, that's not love. That's pandering. That's not genuine love. Genuine love is able to do what is tough at times, what is undesirous at times, but yet what is best at all times. The Lord will require it. The Lord will stick by his commands, and he will examine, and we will be judged before Almighty God, not just for whether or not we received Christ, but we will be judged by Almighty God. Every single person will be, for especially a child of God, for whether or not we lived our life for ourselves or for the Lord. We will give an account, and every idle word will even be taken into account, and that is a scary, scary thought. But we got all the way up to this point. Skipped a whole bunch of stuff. By the time I'm done with the review and everything, and get through, you're going to say, like, man, you couldn't do that the first time? No, I couldn't. All right? We got up to dealing with the fact that the Bible uses the word in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 4. It's talking about some different problems. And it says in verse number 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and then it says evil surmisings. And we left off at that point dealing with the whole thought of evil surmisings being a version, a form of presumption. It's supposing of things, but not just any kind of surmising or supposing or coming up with our own ideas, but it's the twisted version. It's taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that and then twisting it all so it's really juicy and it's really good stories to share and really good gossip. I mean, who wants to hear gossip that's boring? You gotta really juice it up. The better the information, the more people want to hear it, right? I mean, that's what everything is about when it comes to news or social media or anything. The juicier it is. Why is it when you watch a news story, they take the elements of what happened, and if you were actually there to see it, and then you listen to what they present on the news, you would say, okay, they took a lot of liberties with that. I mean, they really spruced that whole story up. And perfect example. Y'all ever watch those bloopers of weather reports with the news people from especially Weather Channel? Gotta love them, you know. And they actually have some where they've caught these people trying to make a massive troubled storm in one area because, you know, they really thought one area is going to get really destroyed, kind of like New Orleans. You know, any storm comes to New Orleans, oh my goodness, we gotta do something about New Orleans. Hurricane Katrina was one of those examples. New Orleans, and it wasn't that, it was Waveland, Mississippi that got hit. New Orleans got the after effects because of man didn't fix what they were supposed to fix when they had a chance to fix it. It was their own fault. But the whole time talking about it, you'll find time frames where they'll literally have somebody blowing water or get some kind of a fan or something. They've got to make it look like they're about to be blown over in this storm while they're trying to report. And when you step back and if you look around, it's as calm as can be. There's hardly even any rainfall and whatsoever. Like, where's all the water and the wind coming from? From their own props. They're taking the story of something that is going on and they're exaggerating it. Why? Because it makes for better news. That's what the kind of idea when you come into evil surmisings. It's the assumptions and the presumptions of what's going on and then taking all these pieces and I really think that's probably what's going on over here. So I'm going to throw that in as though it's fact, even though I'm just thinking that it is in my mind, but I'm going to throw it in there like it is. And if you ever had a story told to you that after you really got all the facts, you found out that what you originally were told was almost a bald-faced lie, but it sounded really good. That's the evil surmisings we're talking about. If you notice there in verse number 4, it begins with pride, and verse number 4 ends with not just that regular surmising or assumptions or presumptions, but it's ending with that evil surmisings. And here's a list I told you we were going to get at. When you talk about evil surmising, you talk about presumption, and you're talking about presuming in these areas that you know, God will be okay with what I do. Now, we're talking about presuming acceptance. We do things, if we're not careful, all of us, if we're not careful, we get involved in things that are not just presumption, but it could be evil presumption. Because we sure love talking about other people, we just hate being talked about ourselves, right? We sure love sharing the prayer request about somebody else's troubles and how their family's falling apart, but don't let anybody talk about my struggles and my family. That's none of their business. But we love sharing everybody else's problems. If we're not careful, we get on the wrong side of these issues. But this is where most gossip is born. When it comes to presumption, it's born out of this evil surmising kind of presumption. Most rumors get started out of this type of presumption. The court of public opinion thrives on this kind of presumption. Relationships are damaged because of this presumption. Friendships are spoiled because of it. Churches are split over it. The spirit is wounded. The spirit of God is wounded through this kind of presumption. And God ultimately is grieved because of this kind of presumption. You say, preacher, do you think Christians can really be a part of evil surmising? Yeah. Because we can be just as fleshly as the next person around us when the spirit is not being fed and we're allowing the flesh to lead in areas that it does not need to. When we're fighting a giant like presumption and he's winning, yeah, you'll find the child of God will actually enjoy the evil spoken of situations and then taking and sharing it if we're not careful. We can get caught up in it just like anybody else. There's only really one way to deal with it and to deal with this giant as a whole, whether it's in the area of presuming strength, presuming liberty, or presuming that God's just going to be okay. He's already forgiven me so I can do it and not have to worry about it. No, you're going to answer. I'm going to answer. We all are going to have to stand before God for everything that we have done in this life, especially as a child of God, because him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. As a child of God, I have the full and complete directions for life from God Almighty. And if I am not following the truth, I will be still held accountable for what I have the opportunity to know and follow. It is important for us to be right before a holy God. And we cannot allow presumption to reside in our lives. The only way to really fight presumption, you find it in 1 Timothy 6, verse number 3, which we've read already, but also you find it in Psalm 19 and verse number 13, where we're at. Both times, it has to do with being right with God, focusing your direction as to God's commands for your life. And in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 3, the statement is made according to godliness. Doing according to godliness. How do you defeat the giant of presumption? You make sure that what you do is according to godliness. Godliness causes me to pause, to think about whether or not this is going to please God. Will cause me to stop and think first. Is this going to harm the ministry of the Lord? Is this going to harm a child of God? Is this going to cause harm in the church of God? Is this going to cause harm in the life of this temple of the Lord? Is it going to cause harm in any way? When I put it in the light of godliness, when I put it on the scale with godliness, and I look and see how does it measure out with godliness, presumption will always be revealed, especially the evil presumptions of life and this flesh getting involved will always be revealed when put in the light of godliness. It will always be seen for what it really is. Also in Psalm 19, verse number 13, if you're still there in Psalm 19, it says, as you go on down, when it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me, and here is the result of it, then shall I be upright. That uprightness is the being right, not perfect, not better than thou, not holier than thou mentality, but I'll be upright. In other words, I won't be flat on my back. You know the word upright, okay? I'll be up in the right position. It's a big difference. You don't get much done when you're flat on your back. You don't get much done when you're crawling around with all the snakes. You don't get much done when you're wallowing around with the swine in the mud pen. But if we get upright, if we get right with God, if we shine in the light of holiness, shine all that we're doing and reveal what it really is. When presumption is revealed for what it really is and it shows its ugly head and now you see it and now it's not fooling you, because godliness in side by side with presumption will always reveal the problem. When that happens and we're focused on being right with the Lord, that is how you fight this giant. The child of God who is not interested in pursuing godliness will be filled with pride and driven to the damage that this evil and this wrongdoing, this wrong mindset will cause. Presumption is not your friend. It is your adversary. Now, we're not talking about, again, I understand there is discernment. Discernment and presumptions are that's two different things. Discernment is God's ability to show the child of God what is happening. You can look at a situation and discern whether it's something you should be a part of. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can lay on your heart and just give you an understanding. I don't need to go over there. I don't need to do that right now. There are times when, I'll just give you a personal example. I've been looking at trying to find some very specific things that we could use, and there's nothing like searching for devices or searching for different things that you're trying to upgrade and trying to find the right choice, and I found a really good deal. I mean, I found a really good deal. I loved it. I was going to have to drive 2 hours to get it. Now, I was willing to do it. But there was a little bit of a check in my spirit. And can I just be honest with you? I fought. I tried every way I possibly could to make it happen, because, I mean, that's a good deal. I mean, that you're not going to find that anywhere. That is an awesome deal, at least by how everything I could see looked. And I'm willing. I'm willing to drive that distance. I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to, this is for my wife. I'm willing to do it. But No matter how much I tried, it just seemed to be roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And the whole time, there's just that check in my spirit. It looks good, but something's not right. It looks good, but something's not right. It looks good, and you can push through and do it, but something's going to turn out rotten in the end. Needless to say, my wife assisted in that area, and I didn't do it. I shut it down. But there's sometimes a check in your spirit, the Holy Spirit saying, mm-mm, don't do it. Don't go there. You don't need that. Don't open that door. Let it go. And that check is that's a discernment God can give. Now, discerning something and presuming situations are two different things. Presumption comes from the flesh. Discernment. I was presuming I had. This was the deal for us. God's discernment was saying, don't do it. Don't do it. There's something else out there. I've got a better deal for you. Don't do it. You're going to regret it. Presuming I'm never going to find something like this again. This is the best deal I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to have to do it. If I don't jump on it now, I'm going to lose the best deal I've ever seen. And God says, no, it's not the best deal. Trust me, just don't do it. Presumption in the flesh, discernment with the spirit. Now that's my, I can't talk about your situations. I can only talk about mine because I know me. I know what I've gone through. We got to be careful with this area of presumption. It is not our friend. It is our adversary. And it's always seeking to undermine the word of God and destroy the absolutes of truth. Presumption always seeks to destroy absolutes. It's not that bad. It'll be okay. If it all works out, no harm, no foul. Yeah, that's presumption. And that is why this type, especially dealing with the evil surmisings and the things that we can get locked into with the flesh, this type of presumption doesn't wait on truth. It creates its own relative truth and its own virtual reality. You ever met somebody who is convinced that something was true or convinced that a certain situation was all because of a certain thing, and no matter how much somebody tried or multiple people tried to tell them, that's completely wrong? They're not going to listen to anybody because they've already come to the conclusion of their own relative truth. It's relative to what they believe. And it's their own virtual reality of what's happening. You ever met somebody who thought that everybody talked about them? Every time there's a conversation around them, I know they're talking about me again. I know they're talking about me again. They hate me. I tell you, they hate me. They do. They're always trying to mess my life up. They really don't think about you that much. You're not that important. But what happens? We get into our own virtual reality because we let presumption begin to work our mind over. This is why David points to the resource that we have, which he can run to and we can run to as a constant warning signal of the dominion that is basically going against the rotten flesh, the wishes to regain over our spirit and regain the power and control over us and take it away from God. David was saying, listen, I know, I can see it. I sense it at times in my own life. What is it that I can do? Where can I turn when I see these things happening? When it's very obvious this giant of presumption is once again trying to overthrow the spirit of God. Presumption is trying to take over when discernment is what God wants me to have. And it's really destroying my life, and it's really messing with my mind. And I have a hard time getting out of my own head sometimes because of this one area. And David gives us the exact place that we turn to for the answers. He gives the list from verse number 7 in Psalm 19, verse number 7 down through verse number 9. A list of things. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And where do you find every bit of that? Right here. The only fight against presumption is the teaching of holiness and righteousness through God's word. The only way you defeat the flesh is by feeding the Spirit of God in your life. The new man has got to have more strength than the old person you used to be. That flesh must die daily, or else presumption in the area of strength and the area of, well, I have the right to do this, I have the freedom to do this, or the presumption in even this area that, well, God will be okay with it. He'll overlook this one time. These presumptions in our life will overthrow us if we're not constantly looking to the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, all these things that we have in God's word. If we miss our time of refreshing daily, we will face the giant of presumption and we will struggle with the fleshly decisions in life. These wonderful resources from God are not meant to bind us, but they're meant to set us free from the dominion of sin and presumption over our life. Psalm 19:11, which is, again, right here, goes on, and we've already read it before, but that one verse says this: moreover, by them is thy servant warned. By what? By the list of things we just gave. Is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. How do you get victory over the giant of presumption? Well, you definitely don't do it in your own strength, because that would be presuming that I can handle it. No, it's realizing that only in the list of the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, all these things found in God's word, only by them is God's servant warned, and in keeping of them will God's servant experience the great reward. What better reward is there than peace? What better reward is there than knowing I'm in the center of God's will? What better reward is there than having the calm that I've done exactly as God wants me to do? And at this moment, there literally, when I search my heart and life, when I diligently search and honestly search within myself, I really do believe I've gotten all things right between me and my Savior. And right now, I can go to bed with a clean mind, a clean heart, a clean conscience. There's nothing bothering me, nothing eating at me, nothing trying to get something over on me. I just feel like I'm right with God. I really feel like I am emptied of myself, and the Holy Spirit has a completely pure vessel to work in. There is no feeling like that feeling. To not have something to be regretting at the moment because I still haven't got this right with God yet. Presumption buries us in the flesh, and yet we have the ability to be free from it through the list of things that are found right there in Psalm 19, which all deal with the commands and the directions that God gives his children through his word. So don't let the giant of presumption rule in your life. Don't presume in the flesh. Let discernment from the Spirit rule and reign in your life on a daily basis. And we'll please God on a regular daily time frame. Please him with our actions, our thoughts, our words, every bit of it. And it's a whole lot easier to rest when I'm right with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you.